You're looking at a guy who's lived this out for many years, and I've just seen so many great things. I really believe this. So anyway, that's kind of my preface. Having said that, let me tell you how I began raising support. I was kind of a self-made boy in some ways, because my dad was really into this thing of providing. He had a paper route when he was, you know, 10 years old, and gave money to his mother, who was a depression child in the Detroit inner city. And he supported his mother. His father was had tuberculosis, so he was quarantined for 10, 12 years. So he grew up in this poor situation, supported his mother. And I remember him telling me when I was 13, "You don't even have a job yet. Man, I can't believe it. What's wrong? When I was your age, I was supporting my mother." And I felt, "Oh yeah." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, you're right. I'm like that. I'm like, oh, I own everything, you know. I'm totally that way." I'm like, "You're right. That's terrible. I can't believe it." So I got a paper route, had enough money to buy a motorcycle when I turned 14, and got a motorcycle and could get a bigger paper route. As soon as I turned, when I was 15, my dad said, "I think I can forge a driver's license for you. So you, when you're 16, you can be like a 16-year-old, have a job. When you're 15, I'll buy you a gas station and you can." I said, "Oh, that's a great idea." It didn't help my school academics. I mean, it was not a good plan, but that's the way I grew up in that. So when it came time to go to college, my father's like, I'll pay for your college, you know. And I'm like, "No, man, I'll pay for my own college. I don't, you know, I'm a man. So I did, you know. I went to the store to buy a big stereo system when I was 14, and the guy said, "Well, you have to bring your mother or father back to buy this." It was at a Radio Shack. And I was kind of embarrassed, but I had to bring my mother, because I had money. I was a self-made boy, okay? I would not consider going in the ministry, because ministers took money from people. And I wasn't a taker, I was a giver. And I paid my own way through life. So that was my, and I supported people as a college student. A Campus Crusade guy said, "Why don't you help me find..." Okay, I wasn't even involved, never been involved in Campus Crusade. The guy asked me, so I did it as a college student. So that's kind of... So you get the idea here, kind of a little extreme. So then I thought, you know, then I realized, I kind of got turned on to the Lord in Christian Challenge Organization in college, and really thought, man, I really want to give... Had a summer mission experience that just changed my life, and I was locked into Jesus. So then I started teaching high school, and I thought, boy, I'd love to just give my life to really helping people grow spiritually full time. But how could I do that? I got to pay my own way. And then I realized chaplaincy in the Air Force was an option, because the government would pay my way. And it was like a real job. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be taking tithe money from a church or something like that. I just wouldn't do that. So I went to seminary with the idea of doing chaplaincy in the Air Force. So I went to seminary. I did chaplain candidate training program, was a second lieutenant, went around different places, was well qualified. But you have to do 2 years experience in your denomination before you can go active duty as a chaplain. And I was set to do that. But a guy named Max Barnett called me up out of the clear blue. I had gone to the University of Oklahoma, actually was never involved in the ministry, because I commuted. My father had left my mother, divorced my mother, and I didn't want to leave my mom alone. So I commuted 20 miles, worked every day. Even when I was a summer missionary, on Saturday, or one day off, I would go back to my old job because I was in my hometown, and I'd work 8 hours. Yeah, I mean, I'm just crazy. So it's kind of messed up. But just that thing of always wanting to be a giver and having money. But then Max calls up out of the clear blue and says, "Bobby, I've heard about you. Was wondering if you'd interview for a staff position at the University of Oklahoma, the Baptist Student Union." I thought, well, that's cool, because I got to do 2 years experience before I go active duty with the military. So I go, I interview for the job. We're eating lunch afterwards, and one of the staff members says to me, "Bobby, by the way, this thing of raising support, it's really not as bad as some people say." I said, "Doing what?" And everyone started laughing. There were about five people, and they just all started laughing, slapping their knees. Because here they'd interviewed me for this job, and I was really sensing God's leading. But I had no clue. I assumed it was a salaried position. I had no idea I'd have to raise support. You understand? They're going to pay me. So I had a decision to make. I'm stuck. Jesus is a sanguine personality-wise, I think. He's up in heaven laughing and slapping his knee up there. Not really. That's not really true. But he's like, oh, got you on that one, Bobby. Because so here I am. And I have a decision to make. Am I going to humble myself and raise support? And, you know, or what am I going to do? And boy, for me, guys, that was a decision. It was a lordship decision. You know, sometimes support raising is more of an obedience issue and a humility issue than it is anything else. And that's what it was for me. I was a self-made man, even very young, and I had a spirit of pride. And was I going to humble people? And I pasted Luke 9:62 up. I mean, Jesus is my Lord, so I had to do it. But I pasted up as I made phone calls. I pasted up Luke 9:62 up in front of me. It says, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I just thought, man, God's called me. I just need to do this. And so I did that. So I did not actually enter this thing of raising support in, you know, exactly the normal way. And I was not excited about it. But I just thought, well, that's all right, man. This is part of the deal. God's called me to this. I'm going to go for it. Does that make sense? So that's how I got into it. As I did that, I began to realize as I laid down the years of my life, I was with Max at University of Oklahoma 5 years. Then I went to University of Colorado. I ended up resigning my commission with the Air Force. I didn't go active duty, but when it was time to go active duty, I had another hard decision, and that was to, instead of having a nice uniform with bars up here and status, my dad had put 30 years in the military. He was very excited about me being a military officer. And I decided, no, I'm going to stay in campus ministry, and I'm going to raise support, and I'm going to give my life. That was the hardest decision I ever made, was to continue to do that. And boy, you know, very, very disrespected in some ways when I went to Colorado, not viewed as it was really crazy as, you know, in some ways a legitimate minister and some things like that. But you know what? It was great. Great training. It was all part of God's agenda for me. It was wonderful. And, you know, I've been there 18 years. Any critic I've ever had in Colorado has long since left. I'm still there. Have a great ministry. Have staff there. People that have come up. People have come to know the Lord. I'll tell you guys, but the number one joy in all these years has been raising support. I've learned more about God and God's will for my life, and this thing of how wonderful it is to participate, to have people to join me in participating. And, you know, I'd cry if I think about it very much, but this thing of, you know, if I think about the donors through the years, you know, what reward am I going to get when I'm in heaven? It's these people that have helped. I've received coined life. You understand? I get paid for what I do. It's the donors that give to our ministry, some very sacrificially. They're the ones that are going to be rewarded in heaven. Does that make sense? And boy, you know, for a lot of them, they have, you know, that money that they give, if you look biblically at this whole thing, that's really, they're participating in the grace of God going to other people. It's a great investment for them. You know what I mean? What do we do with our money? What do Americans do with their money? You see? What do they do with your money? What does your grandmother do with her money? What do your parents do with their money? What do your aunt and uncle? What about your friends? What do they do with their money? If they invest in your training program, in your life, if they invest in your campus ministry position, they're investing in the kingdom of God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, that's a great, I would really encourage you to look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and just ask the question, what is Paul's teaching regarding giving here? And it's fascinating. And I'll say these fast, but this morning I looked at this again. And you know, the principles that I got that came out of this, and I'm not going to give you time to write these down. Giving is to be sacrificial. So you're supposed to give yourself first. Understanding that giving is God's gracious work. We get to grace goes to others' lives. We get to channel God's grace to people. We imitate Christ. We're to be committed givers. We're to do proportional giving. We are to be generous givers. Giving proves our love. We're to set aside the income as we receive it. We're to set aside a proportion of it. Our giving is to be purposeful. Our giving is to be cheerful. Our giving is honored by God. And our giving, finally, in 9/11, results in thanksgiving to God. Now, you can get all that yourself. You don't need to write those down, but because just look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and it'll just come out, all these principles. So giving's huge. And, you know, the one thing is, above all, the first thing is you need to be committed to being a giver yourself. So when you look at that passage, don't be thinking about so much about people giving to you as you do think about you giving. Do you give to the things of the Lord? Now, I was raised, my daddy was a giver. You know, he had a lot of faults, but I'll tell you what, giving was not one of them. One of the reasons he worked so hard all his life. He supported his father and mother. He supported my mother's father and mother. You understand? When you do that, you get the joy of giving. My daddy was a cheerful, generous giver. And I got that from him pretty naturally. I was like that. And, man, these donors, if you have some donors, they will experience the joy of giving. Now, some people don't. Some people are stingy. They're tight-fisted with their money. And I remember my father, you know, when I was first going on staff, he was glad. You know, he was not excited about the fact that I was not going to do this career in the Air Force, but he said, you know, when it came to talking to his relatives, because I always check with him, and I'll tell you one thing, this thing of raising support, you want to check with your folks on who to talk to, okay, with your relatives and stuff. Touch base with them, because they may, you've got to get their permission before you talk to their people, all right? Because, like, for instance, there's certain people in our family, I'd ask my wife, what do you think about talking to this person? No. Well, my wife's always right about everything, you know. She was wrong once, but that was just once in our marriage so far that I can figure out. But every time I don't do what my wife says, she's like, she shakes her head, and she's so kind, she hasn't even said, I told you. But she's just a lot smarter than me, and she, I don't know, I'm kind of out there in front, you know, and she's back there, and she thinks, actually, I just kind of act first. So, you know, but this thing of, like, I remember my father said, listen, you ask my brothers. You let them say no to you. But they should have a chance to give. You know what I mean? My dad had this idea. You ask them because they need to have the opportunity to give. Now, there are others. Then, you know, I asked my wife about some of her relatives, and she's like, no, don't talk to them. They're not interested. Don't do that. You know, there is a principle you'll hear in this thing where it's a, don't make people's decisions for them. Try not to second guess whether people would want to give to you or not. And you'll be surprised, you know, at people that give. And sometimes it's like in Ecclesiastes 3, you know, or is the 7th round, sow your seed in the morning and don't be idle in the evening. If you don't know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed or whether both of them alike will be good. And that's a good principle. But sometimes there'll just be people like, it's just especially checking with your folks because, like, there's some relatives that kind of keep track. And they're stingy by nature. And your folks know that. And they would look at what you're doing as, you know, some kind of charity begging and stuff. Man, you don't want to bother them, I guess. You know what I mean? That's their loss. But does that make sense? I don't know if I'm making any sense. So there, you have to use a little bit. I wouldn't say just ask everybody, period. It's wise to check touch base with your folks and things like that. But if in doubt, for sure ask. Give people a chance. I know I'm kind of jumping around a little bit here. I'm going to say a few more things, and then I'm going to open it up for questions and comments. I've got tons of stuff. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read real quick, and I can, what I've got my email address. I don't have handouts for all of you, but I will email you all the stuff you want about this, and then it'll come right to your inbox, and you can print it out if you want. But one handout, if you care for, is called The 10 Joys and Advantages of Support Raising. And that has, actually, I got a bonus one. There's 11 here, okay? And then there's this section called Key Decisions to Make. And this was not geared towards raising money for trips, but rather staff positions. So it has key decisions to make regarding raising support, and it has a big section on that. And my email address is pruett@colorado.edu, and that's P-R-U-E-T-T, pruett@colorado.edu. If you email me and say, just send me your stuff on support raising, I'll do it. And, you know, let me mention a couple more resources while I'm at it. As far as the deal on biblical basis of support raising, the North American Mission Board, there's an organization called the Mission Service Corps, and they're the part of Southern Baptist to kind of raise support. You know, and that's what I am. I'm a Mission Service Corps. We used to be Mission Service Corps volunteers, but now they've upgraded us to Mission Service Corps missionaries. So anyway, they have some great stuff. And what you do to find that is you go to answerthecall.net, answerthecall.net. And they have, I don't know about, if you ask me about biblical basis info, I'll probably go there and try to pull some stuff off and then email it to you from them. Does that make sense? So answerthecall.net, try to follow the links to Mission Service Corps, C-O-R-P, Mission Service Corps, and then they should have handouts and stuff for biblical bait, you know, like support raising. They have good stuff, really good stuff. All right, they feature me. You can find videos with me on it, you know, talking and stuff. Anyway, so I was like the poster child 1 year for that, because you have all these guys, you know, they have this offering where they raise money for missions, but they always feature one guy who doesn't really get any money that they generate from that offering, but they got to kind of include the Mission Service Corps people there, you know. So that's cool. That's all right, you know. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And I want to say one other thing here. It just came to me, but you know, Max Barnett says, you know, there are lots of people who come up and say, boy, I sure would love to do campus ministry. I've gone to seminary and I'm just all, but I can't find a position. There are no positions open. And Max will, you know, get that look in his eye and he'll say, well, I don't know if that's true. There's lots of positions open. Well, I don't know. You know, I've checked around. He said, no, but the university here is open and that open and that one's open and that one's, oh, but I didn't know they had. We're going to say, you know, he says, and then he finally comes down to the party. He goes, well, what you mean is you're not willing to trust God for your income. You're looking for someone to pay you a salary to go to a position. That's what you really mean. Because if you're willing to trust God, then that's not a problem. There's lots of places you can do campus ministry. And I'm going to say something else. I could not brag about Max Barnett enough. But I went to this reunion of his, I guess it was his retirement here a couple of years ago. He's a director at the University of Oklahoma, a great man, and he's the one that's organized this conference, and we are all very privileged to be around that man's life. I can't say enough about that. But anyway, but I remember, you know, one time we're in this room, and I was in this room. There were about 100 of us in this room of folks that had raised support through the years and been on staff with Max and stuff. They had a special deal at this retirement deal after 37 years at OU. And, you know, people are kind of singing his, you know, applauding him. No, he stands up and he says, I know who I am. I know who I am. And he does. Max has a real keen assessment. He's a very humble man. But he thinks, he's a clear thinker. He says, I know who I am. And I just want to say something. Most of the ministry that has come out of this campus has not been because of me. It's been because of the staff members that I've hired you know, through the years who have trusted the Lord to co-labor beside me. And that, and you know what? I thought about Chute on that a long time, and he's right. You know, most of the great stuff that has come out of that ministry hasn't been because of Max. It's been because of all the other people. He's leveraged himself by hiring a lot of staff members, and they've had to raise their support. Know what I mean? But that's been a lot of ministry. And then folks have gone to other campuses out from there, big time. But the thing, see, the thing Max, and this is my challenge, the thing he's been willing to do is trust God, not only for himself, but trust God for others to raise their support, challenging them to trust God, kind of like maybe I'd be challenging you now. Does that make sense? It's one thing for me to kind of trust God and take care of my family. It's another thing to let my son or my daughter encourage them to trust God and to really be a risk taker out there. Does that make sense? That's interesting. But that's what Mac, the glory of Max Barnett's ministry has been, his faith to believe God, not only for himself, but to believe God for that next generation so that the gospel could multiply. Now, having said that, whether you want to raise money for a training program you're going to be on, or a staff position or whatever, see, it's this thing that you're willing to believe God. You know, our country is so wealthy. We have so much money in America. And what does that money go for? I mean, you know, truth is, you know, probably just given to your training program or something like that. It's probably the best money someone's going to spend. You know what I mean? That's just the facts. Now, if we lived in Africa, if this was Sudan or something, maybe that'd be different. But I can't. I'm just talking about America right now. And, you know, like Bill, one other thing. I'm really jumping around here a little bit. But Bill Bright, Campus Crusade, they rule the world. I mean, evangelically, they're people. And it all goes back to Bill Bright. And the big deal about Bill Bright is he did this whole donor thing and this whole support raising approach that allowed people to talk to people. Does that make sense? And because of that incredible ministry, the pastors filling some of the greatest churches of America are crusade babies. You know? And it all goes back to this whole thing of support raising, because that's a very viable model in our society. Does that make sense? Because we are, and so we need to tap. Well, let me finish my sentence. I have a habit of starting new sentences. Because we are such a wealthy society with a lot of discretionary spending money, people will give money to so many things. Well, why not let them invest in the kingdom of God? Does that make sense? And like, if you're being a, like, let's say you came to Project Impact Home Edition in Boulder, Colorado this summer. That's probably the epitome of a project where it's not like you're going to be going out to some mall, or you're not even, you know, to try to convert people. You can't tell people you're going to do that, because we're not going to do that. You're not going to be going down to do New Orleans disaster relief. You can't get money because you're going to help these poor people in New Orleans like we're going to do. When we leave here, our group, half our group, 15, are going to go down to New Orleans to do disaster relief and come back and then go back to school. So, you know, it's not that kind of trip. It's the hardest thing, because basically Project Impact Home Edition is really an investment in your life and your future ministry. You know what I mean? You're asking people to kind of pay for your tuition for the rest of your life in this area. So that's a hard sell with some people. But you know what? A lot of people would like to do that. They like to invest in your life. They like to give you your college education, you know, and that's of some value. You know, the academic education is of some value. But I think these trips that you guys are doing and these projects, in terms of eternity, they're going to be of even greater value. Does that make sense? And so, okay, I better shut up, huh? All right. Let me ask you, how many of you are interested in raising support primarily for summer trips this summer or whatever? Okay, how many, what other things? What about staff positions? Looking at staff, pretty good number of those too. Well, I hope I've encouraged you with some of this stuff. And I can talk ad nauseum about all this stuff. So let me answer some questions here. Go, someone ask a question. And yes.
Okay, I would do it for free, and I have been on staff for about 6 months doing it for free. And there's part of me that I don't have a job to try to pay for my time in the ministry. I feel guilty trying to raise money for something that I love to do. And it seems hard to ask people to do. Can you just pay me to do what I love to do? It's like, how do you get over that?
Yeah. And that's me a lot, you know. That's awesome. Now, see, she's laughing at you because they don't have that problem. See, a lot of people don't have that problem. They're like, you're kind of crazy. But, and I think the thing, what's that? Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Well, you know, it's just a matter of, they buy your time. It's coined life. You know, when people give to you, that is coined life, and that is so special. And you're allowing them to invest in eternity. You can't do as much. If you're out here working at Starbucks 20 hours a week or 40 hours a week, then maybe you don't have quite as much time to give. And so that's what Paul did. Paul was happy to make tents. But you know, then when there was some money there that people could contribute, he went full time because he could do more. He could free you up. You know, we have, you know, our guys that are, their staff interns and stuff at our campus, they work a little bit, they work some, and that's good. Something, you know, it's good to work some as you know, initially maybe, gives you some structure, and Brett Yawn mentioned that. But boy, you know, the more you can be freed up to really minister on campus or something like that or whatever you're doing, well, that's great. You just have more time, they buy your time, and they have a chance to contribute to the ministry. A lot of people won't do. You know, people won't do what I do. Does that make sense? I'll do what I'll do on campus. They'll give. So let them do what they can do, and let me do what only I can do. Does that make sense? Or only I will do, or I've been trained to do. Anyway, a quick story. This is really cool. You know, when I was getting ready to go on support, I knew my wife's father would really have a problem with this. So, and you know, it's, I kind of wanted to clear it with him. But he's kind of a self-made man too. So I told him, yeah, I'm thinking about going on staff at the University of Oklahoma. And he goes, well, I just don't have a he goes, man, that seems crazy, you know, that you would talk to people about. I don't think he exactly said that because he was nicer than that. So I was ready for him. I said, well, now how do you get your money? He said, from the government. And he was kind of a high official in the government. I said, from the government. I said, well, where do they get it? He said, taxes. I said, who pays the taxes? He said, people. I said, yeah, me. I support you. I pay your salary. And I said, you know what? I don't even want to. But, you know, the people who give to me want to. They don't have to. No one has to give to me. And he said, well, I can't comment on that. I said, I walked off my head. It's true. No, New Testament giving, if you see this thing about the tithe, tithes are great, 10%. But you know, really, New Testament giving is always cheerful, voluntary giving. It's critical, an absolute component to New Testament giving is that there's no compulsion, you see, or legalistic rules. So New Testament giving, you'll find that if you really look at the Bible, it's cheerful, voluntary giving. And that's the glory. People will not give to you if they don't want to. People love their money, and if they give it to you, they want to. So that's cool. You know what I mean? So anyway, isn't that a cool story? I thought of that. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. Joe Ricks. Joe Ricks is helping me with this. Take over, Joe. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, to answer your question, I love it. I mean, that's how I started. I worked for 4 years, a full-time job. Part of it is we almost see it so fun that it's leisure or something. But you know what? That's the joy of doing what God's called you to do. And we're inviting people to partner with us. Nobody pays my salary. I'm asking somebody to partner with God to do something here on the campus.
Nice.
They're not part. You know, it's a partnership. We work together. It's a team effort. I can't be on the campus if somebody's not giving. And we cannot do campus ministry unless these people are part of my team. Matter of fact, I had a supporter once that told to quit supporting me because they thought they were paying my salary. and their heart wasn't right. I said, and I wasn't mad about it. I said, if you feel like you're just paying me a paycheck, I don't want that for you. I want you to feel like you're giving to something God's doing. And they quit supporting me. You know, and I didn't die, and they didn't die either. Life went on. And I would say, remember, it's partnership. And it's okay to love your job. The number one thing all of you in college still are looking for is you want the job that you're going to enjoy the rest of your life. And if you have that opportunity to do it, take it and run. And if you love doing this, praise God. Because you're going to have a passion like nobody else because you're doing exactly what you want to do and you enjoy every minute of it.
Nice. Stay right up here with me, Joe. Come on, man. That's good stuff. Okay. The thing you want to really do is be very specific on what you want from people. Boy, have I ever made mistakes in this area. I was talking to this guy on the phone. Finally, he says to me, what do you want? It's a good business. What do you want? And you know, it's funny because when we raise support, we talk about all this vision. I like to go to this campus. And the hard thing is to actually, you know, what do you want? What do you want? So you got to really think hard about, you know, most people, when they talk to people, they won't ever tell them exactly what they want. And in both cases, you got to tell them what you want. Man, you know what would be great is if I'm looking for folks who would give on a monthly basis. Here again, you know, if you can't do that, if you want to give a one-time deal, that's all right. But actually, I want people to partner. And the word partner, good word, partner, he used it. Partner. I'm looking for partners that we could do this work together, you know. Coin, little coin life here, your coins, my life. Let's do it. You know. he's got four kids, two boys that are, man, they eat a lot. He's got to feed them, you know, so he needs money, buy the food and stuff. Anyway, okay, sorry. Okay, so then the other thing is, answer his question.
Well, he's asking, you know, is there a different way to ask for a short-term trip or for long-term support? My answer to that question is no, you're still asking people to partner with you. The difference is sometimes, though, there's some people that will say, you know what, Joe, I'm going to support your trip to Afghanistan. I just can't support you every month. You know, so there's some that are more prone. Some of that's just knowing people. Some people are more prone to do like a project, a summer project, or to help raise money for like Bobby's doing the training program in Boulder. They say, you know what, I could give for that. But they can't give long term sometimes, and they're more apt to give to something like that. So I would say there is some difference. But in the way of asking, I would say it's ask everybody you can think of, you know.
This let me mention some things. I was trying to think specifically about raising money for projects here. And so I'm like, and I'm always about decisions that you have to make. And one key decision in both projects and staff is, I believe this is what God has called me to do. That's critical, that you believe that God has called you to do this. And you know, you need to prayerfully decide in advance. That's like, because a lot of people are like, dude, I'll do it if God brings in the money, but otherwise I'm not going to do it. Well, you know, that may work, but boy, I'll tell you what, people, they want to know this is a God thing. Does that make sense? They want to know that you're a good investment. And they're really investing in you more than they're investing in the task. Most giving, people believe in me, right? And what, and they trust, giving, it's a trust in me. Does that make sense? It's a sacred trust. It's not so much, I could probably go do something else and ask my supporters to give. They'd probably give because they believe I am a God man who's really going to do it, right? And I'm a good investment. So they mainly invest in you. They believe in you. They don't know much about what you're going to do. It's a trust thing. So you have to know, they have to know that God has called you to this. And if they can pick that up, that's good. How are we doing time-wise, Joe?
Fine.
Yeah? What time is it?
Time for you to get a watch.
I know. Well, I had my cell phone here. I put it in my bag. Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not squandering.
You got about 20 minutes.
20 minutes? We're doing great! Okay, so let me see if I can finish this thing. Can I quickly read? Here's some decisions, like if you're going on a support raising for projects. And I have 10 copies of this up here if you really want one later. Or I can email it to you too. Like, I'm going to do these fast so you won't have time to write them down. God wants me to do this project. I will learn all I can and contribute all I can to make the most of this opportunity. That's number two. Number three, I realize this project costs money. It is worth it. It will pay dividends in my life and others' lives as I give my life in service to others all my life. Number four, there are those I know who are willing to invest in my life and future, in my future ministry. Number five, I will minister to others this summer. Number six, I am committed to a life of service. I mean, all my life. Number seven, I will humble myself and invite others to make this investment. I'll invite them. If they want to, they can. If they don't want to, God didn't lead them, that's fine. Number eight, I myself will be a giver. I'm going to evaluate my own pattern of giving. Are you committed to investing in kingdom work on a regular basis? Do you practice what you preach? It's interesting. That's kind of interesting. You know, God has provided for our family. And I'm saying, you know, almost every month of the 18 years, I've never had like, I don't say never because there's been a couple of exceptions. But I don't have enough money in my account for 2 months. I might be able to do this month, and I praise God if I can do this. It's month by month. It's like manna in the morning kind of stuff. That's what it's been like for me. Is that true for you, Joe?
Well, and I would say one of the joys of raising money for trips, for anything, is that through trial you find joy in Christ and you find trust. I can give you two quick stories about this in my life. In 1998, I set out the take the step. I worked 4 years full time, did ministry full time. My wife wondered what I looked like some days. And I stepped out. One day I had a job that paid me $3,000 a month. The next day I had a job that I didn't know what it was going to pay me. And 2 weeks into it, this is how the devil works and the evil one works. 2 weeks into it, it was critical mass. God, I was sitting there and I said, if I don't get such, I don't remember how much money it was. It was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 to $400 today. Not in a week. Not today had the money had to come in. I was done. Support raising. And I had a choice at that moment. And write these two books down, because these two books are what made me step through. They're biographies. And maybe you've read some. One was Man in Christ, Hudson Taylor. Another one was Delighted in God, about George Mueller. You can get the George Mueller book upstairs here at the bookstore. But it stretched me, because I saw these men of God who really lived a life. And I said, I'm going to trust God today. I stepped out in faith. That day, in the mail, came a check for $1,000 from people I never heard of on the other side of the country. That's God, folks. And I had the greatest joy in my life. And you know what? I didn't need $1,000, but I only needed like $300. And that's what God did. After that moment in our long-term ministry, we had struggles, but I never doubted that God would come through for me again. Then last year, we had this great thing at Westman's, a real small school. We sent 6 people overseas last year, which is probably, that was about 2/3 of our ministry, the people in it. We had to raise in the neighborhood of $30,000. What? I'm like, no problem, guys. Just trust God, He'll supply. Because I'd lived a life that God has always supplied the finances for us. And God brought me to a place where not only was one of my students doubting whether or not God was going to come through, that I started to doubt. Him and his wife were going with a different organization. Usually we go with Focus, but they were going with a different organization. They needed $12,000 to go for the two of them. They had about $4,000 up, and by, it was a Friday afternoon, and by the following Tuesday, they'd have another $4,000 in, or they're done. They're not going. And he comes to me and says, I'm concerned. And I'm thinking, it'll be done. And then he's like, no, I'm really concerned that we're not going. He says, we've bought plane tickets, and we're not sure we can get the money back for it if we don't go. And so I said, well, let's pray about it. He was ready to make a decision that day, so let's pray over the weekend and see what happens. And I was going to make some phone calls to some people I knew. I have some people down in the Denver area at a church that have helped me out over the time. And as a matter of fact, one of them called, and he says, well, you know, I'll ask some guys. But other than that, I hadn't really done anything. Sunday morning rolls around. Treasurer at our church walks in. Our ministry works with the church there locally. And he goes, you know, Joe, there's this bank account downtown that's got some money in it. And I said, yeah, it's probably got like $50, man. I know what the account is. He goes, well, I got this letter. They said they're going to close the account, and I might want the $400 that are in the account. It wasn't $50. It was $400. I said, yeah, you know, we'll take that. And then by 11 o'clock on Sunday, what the student who was going had had a car sale that he had forgot he was trying to sell. $800. And so I'm like, wow, this is working out pretty good. But we still got a long ways to go. Well, a student, and guys, this is about sacrificial giving and it breaks your heart. You know, we have a student in our ministry who's a chef. And he's going to school full time, but he's also a chef. And he gives a check for $500. Because this guy, the guy that's going on the trip, has discipled the guy that gave the $500. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm doing the calculation in my head. I said, well, we're about $2,000 short still. So people in the church walk up to me after church, 12 o'clock Sunday. They said, where are you guys at for the trip? I said, well, you know, we got all these gals going to China, and they're doing pretty good. But I said, the two going to Africa are struggling a little bit. And they said, well, let us think about it. And, you know, some nice people say that, you know, they turn around and give you $25 later. They called me Monday morning at noon, and they said, we'll give you the full $3,600. At the time, some of the numbers hadn't come in. Said, we'll give you $3,600. I said, well, actually, we only need about $1,900. Okay, we'll do it. And God came through. But God stretches you through some of these things, and it scares you to death. And what I would tell you, if you're going to support raise for your job, if you're going to support raise for the trip, you better be committed up front, because God's going to come through. I don't know how He's going to do it, but He's going to come through. And I even asked this summer, I asked John Brooks, the founder of Focus International, I said, out of all the years you've traveled, how many people have never gone on trips because of money? And they've been doing trips since 93, and he said, three. Three people haven't gone. And he says, as we analyze those three people, out of the hundreds of people that have gone, we felt like maybe that's not what God had for their lives at that time. Three people out of hundreds.
Hundreds and hundreds.
And so I would tell you, commit. If God said go, He's going to provide.
Yeah.
And those are, that's the best stuff on sport I tell you is the stories. And those books, those biographies about Hudson Taylor and George Mueller, it is amazing what God did. That's what stretched me in those days to think, you know, God can really do this.
It is a God thing.
And Max Barnett said this to me once when I was doing support raising. He said, Joe Ricks, if you cannot trust God for money, you cannot trust Him for anything. And that changed my life. I mean, I'm in the ministry. By George, I better trust God for everything, you know. And it changed my life. So I would say there will be trials, but they will bring great joy. And there will be times that you're sitting there and you're sweating it. And you know why you're sweating it? Because God wants to do the impossible in your life. And you've tried everything you can do. And you've called all the phone numbers you can call. And He wants to do something massive in your life. So I'd say in this thing of support raising, be ready, because there are going to be trials. And you're going to have to tighten up the belt. And you know, but there's going to be chances to give too.
And this is not to, there are other ways. You don't have to even do support raising. You can just trust God, not ask anyone. That's what Mueller did. And you can come up with some of your own funds. The one thing you don't want to do is do not go in debt. It's not of God. It's not of God for you to go in debt on this thing. Don't pay for it with your credit card. Don't do that, okay? It's better not to do it. Unless you have the money, you shouldn't do it, okay? I don't think that's God's will. You know, but you know, I got to tell you quick. Your generation is kind of crazy. Anyway, on this thing, like we do this. Oh, this is a great story. Have this guy, he's going to come on staff with me. We do this big support raising school where you get all this stuff. It's like 3 days. You get seminary credit and all this stuff. This guy goes in there and he sits through the whole thing. So now it's time to go make support raising phone calls. He goes over and he comes back, you know, man, this is all, you know, it's all lined out. You know, and so he comes back from his support raising call. This guy's on staff at me, with me, right? Eventually, later. So he comes back and goes, oh, so cool, $40 a month. They're like, oh man, you got $40 a month, that's great. He said, well, no, I didn't. I called a guy that had invested in my life and I'm giving to him $40 a month. People are looking at him. He goes, yeah. He goes, well, you know, this guy really is really key in my life. And he's just kind of off the top. He goes like, well, you know, I was thinking, you know, given it'll be given to you. Press down, shaking together, watering over, you know, be poured out in your life. So he's thought, you know, given it'll be given to you. And he's thought, you know, this guy just thinks differently. So he comes to campus to work for me. He never talked to anybody about support. He goes to his school. He didn't talk to one person about support. So he's there 2 years. He's now with Wycliffe. And he's got three beautiful children and a wife that he married there. And was in Boulder, and it's just an incredible deal. And, you know, he later raised support when he went on staff with Wycliffe. He's a Bible translator today. But I remember walking on campus with this guy. You know, he had come back to campus after he'd been on staff with me, and I was just thinking about this. It's like I'm saying, you know, Luke, you're still alive. You didn't die. He goes, I mean, you just trusted God, and you didn't do anything they said about support raising. You know what I mean? And you're still here. I mean, it's over. You know what I mean? And you did it. And this Exodus 3:12 is a tremendous passage because it's this promise. God says, Moses says, now, God, how do I know for sure you're sending me? How do I know for sure? He says, surely I will be with you. Here's the sign that it is I who am sending you. Here's the sign, Moses. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you'll worship me on this mountain. So God says, here's the sure sign. After you're already done going to Egypt, delivering the people, and you're back here, you're going to know for sure that there's the sign, Moses. Isn't that God's sanguine sense of humor? I'm telling you. It's great. He's like, oh, that's pretty good, huh, Moses? Moses is probably shaking his, some melancholy shaking his, oh man, that's not the kind of sign I wanted, you know. Well, he went back, he did it, was back. God proved it. And so you have to prove this in your own life. Does that make sense? You have to prove God. You don't have to raise support. What you have to do is trust God with your life. And this might be one method. You might be bivocational. You know, Luke, he's a man of action. When he goes to my campus, he's like, I want a house. I'm going to move in with these guys. So I'm like, Luke, you should check around. No, man, I'm just going to do it. Because he's like that, right? So it just wouldn't work out for him to move in this house. These guys wouldn't let him in. It's really weird. So like, man, I don't know. So then he moves in this fraternity. And they're like, hey, man, if you'll cook a couple of meals, you can stay here for free in the fraternity. And in fact, we'll pay for all your meals. We just really need somebody. So he lived in that fraternity building for a couple of years. He didn't do much there. But they let him live there for free and gave him all the free food. Does that make sense? That was part of his support package. You know. And it was weird, but it was just God looking after that guy. And that guy, good night. This last month, we get a check. I shouldn't say this, but that's all right. We get a check for $300 from Luke Samoff, who's now a Wycliffe missionary, and he's sending money to us. You know, one third for this staff member, one third for this, and one third. And here's what he puts on it. And I have it. In fact, where is it? Where's my file folder? Look at this. I cut it out. Look, check this out, guys. I cut this out. This is Luke Samoff. In partnership for the advancement of the gospel at CU, Luke, Sarah, and Corbin Samoff. They said one kid when I cut this out. And I thought, that's a sacred stewardship. I'm going to remember. He's in partnership with me for the gospel at CU. That's what he wrote on his check. What a sacred stewardship. I better be about the gospel. Because this man of God who raises support himself, who wouldn't raise support when he was with me. Man, isn't that cool? He's got it. He's got this thing figured out. So it's not really about, I hope you get the idea, it's about God. It's not about raising support or anything like that.
We had a question
now. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. All right. We're really going to answer your questions this time, okay? You know, you have money in your what now?
Like in your own account, like God's blessed you with enough money.
Yeah, well, you know, not necessarily. You don't necessarily should, you know, use every penny that you have in your bank account before you talk with someone. These things, you have to weigh these things before God and ask God what you should do. But I think, generally speaking, it's a great thing to invite people to partner with you in these things. And I think that's great.
I think too, as a college student, if you're going on a short-term trip, I think it's good to contribute though.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a purist in how I think, and I always thought students just were trusting God and going on trips. And I had a student give a testimony to me one time. He's like, you know, the only reason I went to Kazakhstan a few years ago is because it was a free trip overseas. Now, God did something in his life when he got back, and it was a big deal, and he was glad he went. But it really struck me. I was like, he's like, well, it's this free trip. I asked people for money. They gave me the money. I went to Kazakhstan. You know? And it's when I really understood that putting something, I mean, maybe all you can afford is $50 towards your trip. You know, but I would say contribute what you can.
Or you should be contributing to, you know, it's that thing. And I hope you guys will all have this lifestyle of blessing. There's this verse, 2 Cor 8:14. It says, at this present time, your abundance being a supply for their want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered too much didn't have too much. He who gathered little had no lack. Referring back to God giving manna from heaven. He who gathered too much didn't have too much. And so what that verse means is, like, right now, you poor college students, you know, you guys are a deficit financially. It costs a lot of money for you. You know what I mean? You know, it's costing folks $20,000 a year, and you guys aren't paying anything. But later, you'll have a good income. And then at that time, your abundance will be a supply for their lack. So maybe there'll be college students. There'll be some conference like this, and you'll get a letter from me in the mail saying, we're bringing a bunch of people to this training conference. Will you give to this training conference? Does that make sense? Because they can give now because they have money. But like a lot of people come to this conference, don't even have enough heart. So you have to kind of help them financially, kind of prime in the pump of their life. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense. Okay. Is that helpful? Okay. Back here, I don't know if did we ever answer your question about the difference between those two things? Basically, okay. Here's the deal. On long term, you want monthly giving. On short term, one time gifts are cool because it's a one time deal. But the monthly thing is really good. Is really good. It's also good to, on the monthly deal, when you're doing that, kind of even sometimes you can kind of suggest amounts. It's really, here's the deal I found. Or give them a range. It's really hard for people to make decisions to give monthly, even though it's good for them to do. Because I know personally it's hard for me, because if I'm going to give something every month, does that make sense? And it's really hard for, they have to think that through, and they don't ever have time to sit down and think that through. So you kind of have to just, it's a little bit of a process. But the monthly giving, because see, I'm planning on being there next month. I mean, I've been there 18 years. Let's see, I'll probably be there another month or two. So, you know, need the monthly thing. So that's a big difference. Any other questions? Okay. Are you my sister, my daughter? No, I'm sorry.
First off, they're not giving money to you. They're giving money to God, and God's giving you money.
Giving is vertical, and
vertical.
Receiving is vertical.
Yeah. I think that's the first thing, is to change the thought process, because it's not your money. And then secondly, you just give. You're giving the work of the Lord. I've got a friend who works for Campus, well, she works for Pioneers now, and she gives me $40 a month, and I give her $40 a month. And people have said, well, you know, what's the point? And I said, because I'm not giving to her. I give to God. I don't know what he does with that $40, and it may come in at a time when she doesn't have $40. I don't know, you know, because I give it to God first, and it's a vertical gift. When you look at the way God provided for the Levites in the Bible, the children of Israel brought gifts and stuff to the temple to give to God. And then God, in turn, fed the Levites. He gave them houses, all this stuff, out of the gifts that were given by the people of Israel. But the people, he always made it clear, you're not supporting these people. You're giving to me out of obedience, because that's what I asked you to do. And so it's really, you know, sometimes people think, well, is that semantics? I said, I really don't think it's semantics. I don't think we're playing a little word game here. I think you give it to God first, and then he in turn gives it to you.
I'm going to close this out, and I'll talk to you individually. Hey, bring your questions up. We're here. We'll talk. It's no problem. here's what I want to make a closing statement, and that is... You know, some people just aren't going to understand this. And I face this even after all these years. Some people who are closest to me, you know, it's very interesting because they're starting to get this idea. You know, you hear these one-liners sometimes about, well, you know, because basically, you know, there's been a sense, and I really think God has blessed my life and my giving and everything and just... And sometimes there are people, maybe they're stingy, or they don't have good giving patterns, or things like that. And they start questioning and looking everything through human eyes. You can always look at this thing from a God perspective or from a man perspective. Does that make sense? Anything. It's like naturalism. Anything that happens, if you say God answered your prayer, well, someone else can say, well, no, that was a coincidence. You can always look at this thing from God's place or man's place. You have to be willing to be misunderstood. You have to be willing to be criticized. There are going to be some people that are going to talk bad about you when you live the life of faith, because they walk through life with a spirit of pride, and they're going to... It's kind of like that spirit that I had, kind of, in some ways, before I entered this area. So are you willing... Are you willing... It's a pride issue, you know. Are you willing to be misunderstood for the greater good of the gospel spreading and for people? Does that make sense to have this opportunity to give and be a part of what God's doing? For me, the answer is yes, I am. And I know it's been like that for Max Barnett. It's been like that for Joe Ricks. But there's going to be some of your relatives that will not respect you. And so you just have to live with that. But you know what? I want the respect of God first. And I need to do what God tells me to and be a God person first and foremost. And that means sometimes, you know what I mean, not just doing everything myself and paying my own way through life. God gives us the opportunity to join Him, and Scripture's real clear about inviting other people to partner with us. You know, Jesus Himself received support. Did you know that? Luke, the reference for that is Luke 8, 2 and 3. So you can look at that sometime. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank You very much for this time, and I do pray You'd be with these students and staff and future staff members. God, I think about how important it is for the gospel to spread to the nations, for the gospel. I'm just burdened for the college campuses here in the United States, and I think about the changed lives that have occurred at the University of Colorado under my leadership. And at Joe's school at Western State under his leadership. And I thank You for those people that have gone before us to kind of develop a system to operate through these principles of Scripture on doing that, allowing others to participate with us and partner with us in the gospel. And so I pray You'd help each individual here think through what this means for them, that You might be glorified, Lord, in our society, in America, and be glorified in the world, Lord, because it's all about You. Thank You for the privilege of participating with You in the gospel and inviting others. In Jesus' name, amen. We're here. We're available for personal question asking. And I've got these handouts. There's about 10 of them if you're like doing a trip thing. And then you got my email address? So easy. You know, it's all electronic. Think of the trees we're going to save by me not having handouts.
I going on a trip with Christian Challenge,
yep,
for $1,000. I only got $200 from it. How do I go and ask people again or remind them that I'm still going, or what do I do with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have to pray through that. What did you do?
Support letters.
Okay. How many did you send out?
60.
Yeah. You're pretty clear about what you wanted and all that?
Probably not.
See, what does it say? The three principles... Face-to-face, 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 you know. So the letter blitz thing, it can be okay, but sometimes... What trip? What kind of trip was it?
We were going to South Korea to do... trying to think what we were doing. We were going to help with the English camp.
Okay, are you done with the trip?
No, we had to postpone it till this year.
Till this year. You certainly could What school are you at?
MSU.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I think the thing to do is to, you could write those people again and let them know where you're at financially, that you've raised $200, and just give them the facts and let them know about what you're doing. And then, you know, be sure and let Larry, let someone else look over your letter too and maybe possibly give you suggestions for that. And if you can, rather than, if there's anybody you can, rather than, you know, to even talk, to just do the letter to, if you can talk personally to him and let him know, I think that is a better deal too. You know what I mean? If you can talk and just pray. Ask God. But I know Larry can, I'm sure he can help you think through this. But, you know, and then some people, you know, it's funny because, like, some people just don't have a lot of, like, you know, when I started raising support, I had been a youth director in a big church. It's just a lot easier than me. Some new guy, than, you know, his relatives, like Jenny Stage, who's on staff with me, none of her family's Christians. You know what I mean? And she comes out of our ministry. Folks were hippies from the 60s, and she comes out, and she's done not know very many people. It's different for her, you know, and she works some and has prayed and trusted God, and it's been, she would be like me, that she would say it's been so cool to raise support and see how God provides every, you know, but boy, you know, it's a, so that's just a reality. And, you know, so you know, some people maybe just, that's not the channel that God's going to use because they're just not there. Does that make sense? It may have to be a different well or something. So that's kind of off the top of my head. But I think it'd be good to let people kind of know where you're at, because I know for me, like this Christmas, well, here's what I do personally. I know there's I get five appeal letters. Sometimes I've had this thing where I give to this person and then this person goes way over the top on what they need. I could have given that to someone else. So sometimes I'll wait and I'll call someone up or ask, say, how's that money coming in for, I'll wait till close to the time when I know their deadline is. I'll say, well, how's that going? How's your support raising going? Sometimes like, oh man, yeah, it's all there. Praise God. But sometimes it's like, oh man, no, you know, man, I really still have some needs. And well, then I'll give to that person. Because why should I give to someone else who can raise their money easy? Does that make sense? They'll have all this extra money instead of give to this other person who has a real need. So that's just intelligent giving from my perspective. So sometimes if you write that second letter, you can craft it in a way where they know, here's kind of where I'm at. And it, oh yeah, that's right. You know, Andy, that trip. Okay, yeah, so he still has a need there. Okay, well maybe I'll give now because I can see that other people haven't covered it or something like that. Yeah, you bet, Andy. Hello. What's your name?
Phil.
Hey, Phil. Where are you at?
OU.
Nice.
Got a couple questions.
Okay, sure.
Okay, well, this is probably a really common question about asking non-Christians for money.
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. The deal there is there are a lot of people that I think someone who's not a believer, you know, it's a little gray. It's a little bit of a gray area. There's some people that they'll give to anyone they'll give to a college, they'll give to something else. They may even see this as, like what kind of trip or staff?
If I were going to a project or on a summer mission or something like that.
Yeah, see, they may see, like a relative, some uncle may see it as, oh, that's cool.
Family that would, I'm sure that they would want to support me in something, whatever I'm doing, but I'm just not sure.
It's perfectly fine. And you let them know, you know, you let them know what you're doing, but it's not wrong to ask from folks that don't know the Lord. You just have to think about if you think they'd kind of be open to that, you know, as your, especially relatives, you know, a lot of times they'll help you even though they're not, because, you know, they'll give. You know, like my kids going to some soccer camp. They might give, you know, they're raising money for a soccer camp or whatever. You know, they'll just kind of generally, they're going to give some of their money to people. And that's perfectly acceptable. And God can even use that sometimes as a ministry. Like you get to talk. You would never get to talk to them about your trip. But they've invested in it. So it gives you a freedom to talk about something that you wouldn't even have the freedom to talk about afterwards. I mean, anyway. Sometimes, again, talking to your folks, if they're relatives, and, you know, say, hey, you think it'd be okay to to write Uncle Joe about this, and they can kind of guide you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that help? Is I don't know if that's help, but there's nothing wrong with asking folks that don't know the Lord. Because it gives you that chance to dialogue with them spiritually.
Yeah.
It opens up a door to spiritual conversation you might not have otherwise.